different from the first time we did it today?
For me, there's a big difference between me and us. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a big shift to go. I don't know what that's about.
Can you talk any more about that? Mm-hmm. Do you prefer one or the other?
For us.
That's okay. You can use that. Yeah.
Seems wider or something. Mm-hmm.
To try saying the prayers with me instead of us. And for me, in the same regard, it was a profound experience to do it, to say the prayer, because part of the struggle was, oh, I shouldn't be praying for myself. It's not right to pray for myself, which comes from some of my background too. It's just, but I really experienced the prayers in an entirely different way when I said the prayer for myself, because then I was including myself in us. It sort of made a shift for me, because I found I often said the prayer us was everyone outside of myself. But I didn't include myself in that. So it was a profound thing for me to use me, because I suddenly became aware of how that prayer was for me also, as well as everybody else. Mm-hmm. So it kind of made a shift in some ways, in consciousness about how even what us means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and are you able to go back to the us now and
mm-hmm.
feel differently?
Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, for sharing what you just did, because I think I have a very similar experience, and I was kind of having a similar thought to what Latif had expressed. And so it kind of, I think for myself, I also put myself outside of us. Like, this is everyone. So I thank you for sharing that. Help me to think about that differently.
Take the attitude when saying the prayers. In a way, it's what Compte Rinpoche had taught me when I was doing the practice called Mudra, which are the preliminary practices. Part of that is prostrations and taking refuge, and also prostrations. And he said that when doing those practices, to imagine that one is that. In that tradition, they call it the chant master. And that you're inviting all sentient beings there, and you're praying with them and leading them in the practice. And so doing that with us, also, one can visualize that one's not alone, but with all, not even all of humanity, all of creation, you know, all life is participating in the prayer.
That practice, the three phrases, seems like such a condensed, repeated meta practice in some ways. Or have you thought about Vajrasattva? You know, and everyone has Vajrasattva in their heads. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that? And I think the me and us, that's what that's interesting. Like Kermigita was saying. I think I'm so self-centered. Like, I don't know. But I feel like it's so localized that I do feel like it. I don't know. I'll have to think of it.
Well, it might be interesting just to try it the other way with the me for you, because maybe something's coming up about that too. It can be either way. It's good to play with them both. They have different vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about here, is the subtlety of vibrations.
At the Tese service at 5 o'clock at St. Andrew's Sundays, they had a picture of the golden halo aura of Christ right at the altar with all the candles. And that is awesome to look at. And to try to think, well, okay, let's align.
Yeah, that's it. Pour upon us thy love and thy light. Disclose to us thy divine light. Use us for the purpose that thy wisdom chooses. And Jesus even said that he be used. To thee do we give a willing surrender. Who wants to do that? Wants to do that. To thee do we give willing surrender. Everyone thinks they know what's best. I want, I need, I am, I will.
That's like who you surrender to. I mean, it sort of goes back to what we were saying before about convincing people against their will. You have to make sure you're giving your surrender to whatever the highest is for you.
Yeah, to thee. It doesn't say to what is one's thee.
Or if you want to have a happy marriage, you've got to surrender every minute.
To thee do we give willing surrender.
Right, Leo?
Questions from either that are here or from people that are joining us. The feeling that there are questions, but perhaps someone doesn't want to ask it now.
I just want to make sure they're not about politics.
Yeah, I can't answer questions about politics. I'm not sure I can answer anything, but it's good to hear one express one's own thoughts and questions. It's good just to be restful. I'd like to talk about a practice. And this practice is known as Kasab. Kasab, K-A-S-A-B. And I'll read from Murshid's papers. This is a collective interview which was given on August 30th, 1926. And I always think that these collective interviews are very... powerful teachings, because these were given shortly before Hazrat Anay Khan's passing, and I felt like, you know, perhaps he had an intuition about his own leaving and was giving really pithy instructions. And so this practice, again, is titled Kasab, from the collective interviews, August 30th, 1926. Breath is the most important part of our life. In other words, breath is our very life. The man who is ignorant of its nature is ignorant of life. The one who is led by breath is the slave of life. The one who controls breath is the master of life. The words, led by breath, means that it is the breath, its speed, and its change into different elements and into different directions which conducts all the affairs of man's life. Man ignorant of this fact is led by the breath and experiences conditions in life as they happen to come, and therefore life becomes not his kingdom, but a prison. When man becomes aware of this truth, he wishes to gain control of his thoughts, feelings, emotions, passions, and of his affairs. Such a man, by the help of Murshid, learns and practices the control of the breath, which is called Kasab. This breath develops in time the volume of the breath, purifies it, and makes it rhythmic and powerful. This practice should not be exaggerated, nor should it be repeated more often than prescribed by the Murshid. Kasab purifies all the breathing tubes of the body, which in time helps to purify every vein, even every nerve of the body. Kasab purifies all the breathing tubes of the body, which in time helps to purify every vein, even every nerve of the body. Diseases such as tuberculosis and all lung diseases in their beginning are cured by it, and a person who keeps up this practice all his life will always keep from consumption. One can avoid many diseases and the effects of contagious diseases by a regular practice of Kasab. it is said that Kasab develops the volume of the breath, purifies the breath, and makes the breath rhythmic. It also develops control over thoughts and feelings, emotions and passions. With Kasab, the soul spreads its light outwardly and inwardly, and in doing so, everything becomes clear in the light within, which guides on the path. Pour upon us thy love and thy light. Disclose to us thy divine light. Guide us on the path of thine own goodness. With Kasab, the soul spreads its light outwardly and inwardly, and in doing so, everything becomes clear in the light within, which guides on the path. Kasab. Now, we've been leading up to this practice because we've been doing what we've called the triangle breath. This breath is done also alternating nostrils, and there are a variety of forms that are given to this practice. But we'll do only one of the forms today. It is a practice that uses both the left and right nostril, and so we will have the Jamal and the Jalal influence in tandem. We'll go back and forth. The practice is done typically with the eyes closed, and there is a visualization of a bright light, the flow of prana that we see at the tip of the nose, and we breathe that light in. May refer to this as alternate nostril breathing, or you may have heard it called pranayama. The term given by an icon is Kasab. The rhythmic pattern is breathing in 4, holding 8, out 4. So the inhalation and the holding is twice as long as the inhalation. Begin, I'll just talk through the practice and then we'll do it together. We'll breathe in through the left nostril, we'll hold, we'll breathe out through the right, then we reverse it. We'll breathe in through the right, we'll hold, and out through the left. That's one cycle. Okay? When we've completed a cycle of 5 of those, we're going to breathe in through both nostrils to the count of 4. We'll hold 8 and out to the count of 4. So keep in mind, when we studied the triangle breath, that breath moved in one direction and then it switched. This one is alternating. We breathe in left, hold, out right, in right, hold, out left. And we keep repeating that pattern for a cycle of five. When we've completed that, we'll breathe in through both nostrils, hold, and we'll breathe out both. Here the instructions are given, eyes closed, but visualizing a bright white light, the pranic light at the tip of the nose, and breathing that light in. So start by closing off your right nostril. We'll breathe out the left nostril, and then we'll breathe in the left nostril. And I'll keep us on track. So, begin. We breathe out, 2, 3, 4, in left, hold, out right, in right, hold, out left, in left, hold, out right, in right, hold, out left, in left, hold, out right, in left, right, sorry, hold, out left, in left, hold, out right, in right, hold, out left, in left, hold, out right, in right, hold, out left. Now in both, hold, out both, in both, hold, out both, in both, hold, out both, in both, hold, both, in both, hold, out both, and now just go to a natural breath. tune deeply within. Notice the quality of your breath. Do you notice an inner radiance? Any questions or comments about the practice? Yes.
When you inhale or when you hold it for the 8, like I never fully exhaled, so it's retaining so much, the whole thing. Is that, should I have exhaled more fully?
Probably. Yeah. This is where Murshid is talking very subtly about us controlling our breath. You see, it's also what we may do energetically. I'm not saying you do, but I find that if people have the tendency to not expel all the breath, that that could... it can indicate in a nature, and I don't think this is necessarily true of you, but it can be an indication that someone generally withholds or holds back. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's this, if I give it all out, there might not be more coming in. So this is where we talk about, when Murshid talks about mastery of the breath, knowing when to fully release that and surrender in a way, and then trusting that the next breath's going to bring enough in. So it takes some practice. But this is a practice that those people that are studying with me should be doing every day, actually. This is a very important practice. The elemental breaths, the purification breaths, and this breath, along with the prayer, should be the crux of your daily bread, so to speak.
And once a day on this one? All day long.
But once a day is good in the morning. And in fact, the instructions, I'm thankful for that question because I'll read you very specifically here what Hazrat Anay Khan indicates, and that is, he says, the morning is the best time for practicing kasab. The rhythm of kasab is not the same as in fikr. In kasab, because in fikr we're breathing in and we're breathing out. We're breathing in, we're breathing out. He says, in kasab there is a retention between the in-breath and the out-breath. And this interruption of the natural flow of breath is done differently according to each individual. This practice is itself a preparation for higher practices. The higher practices would be Chagall, which is another breath practice, and Amul, which is not given to everyone. It's another practice where it's a little bit like Chod. You're sort of imagining that you're casting the different parts of your body to different directions. It's not spoken about very much, so I hesitate to bring it up. But Chagall is a practice that is given to, commonly given, especially during retreat. And I hope that we'll talk about that in future classes. But I've been trying to build a foundation to these practices and not be cavalier about giving them out. At any rate, so there you have it. He tells us the best time is in the morning. And that concentration on light is very important. You know, it opens up that light. He says, with kasav, the soul spreads its light inwardly and outwardly. And everything becomes clear in the light within.
I just wanted to comment that Arima, Lima, Raja, and Amina had each responded yes about the inner radiance. And Amina said, it feels like more of my lungs are being used. I suppose that's the volume part. And Alim would like to know if that's, did you say five cycles?
Mm-hmm. Five cycles. Correct. In the left, hold out the right. In the right, hold out the left is one cycle. And then when you go to the Kamal practice breath, which is in and out both nostrils, that's also five. Now, this is given in different formulas, but this is the one that I would like to emphasize. This form of it is a very powerful form of it. To make it less powerful, one would start with the right nostril and go to the left. It's the opposite. Some forms are given where you just breathe in one, out one, in the same one, but this is the one that I would like to emphasize myself. So it starts on the left and goes out the right, which we know from our triangle breath is the Kamalic version. But if one was trying to become more gentle, one would go, but you need this sometimes in the morning to get your day started. You need sometimes that power and mastery, you see. But there are other versions. So if you should hear it another way from someone, you shouldn't say, oh, there's only one way. My way's the right way. Not my way being Nuria's way, but your way, the way you've learned it. Don't squabble over it. Anyone else? Yes?
Question about this and the other breaths. This is to be done in the morning. The other breaths?
Also in the morning.
Also in the morning.
Okay. Murshid is very specific. He always talks about breath practices are very good for the morning and more contemplative meditation in the evening.
And in any particular order? This one first? And it doesn't matter?
He does give some prescription to that. If you ask the order that I do them in, I always begin my practice with, and we talked some about this, it's a good idea to at least, if one hasn't received the formal practice of ablutions, to kind of wash one's face and brush one's teeth, which is kind of the idea of every tradition does this, the idea that we're cleansing ourselves. Wash the mouth out and the eyes and things like that, the nose maybe even, just to get that clear. And then I always start with the invocation, and then I go to the purification breath, the one that's I inhale divine light and life, I radiate divine life and light. And then I conclude that practice with the Nyas, the healing prayer on the breath. And then I myself then go to the rest of the... It depends. Sometimes I want to stay with the breath. I listen. But then sometimes I go on and do the prayer, psalm, and peer, and the universal, and then maybe I'll go back and do my purification breaths and the alternate nostril breathing breaths. And then I do my wazifas, which are mantras. And then for me, because I'm... Well, I won't say more. I do other things as well, but that's enough in terms of this practice.
I love that when I was sharing with your mother, Om Amarani Jiva Tiva Swaha, you immediately knew that was the white Buddha's mantra, the green whatever it was, the Tara, I don't know what now, you knew.
What was your experience of the practice? I mean, we talked about the technical part of it, but some people said they felt the radiance. What else in terms of the atmosphere, your inner atmosphere? And was that different than the triangle breath, which we've been doing the last few months?
It was much easier for me than the triangle breath. There was almost no effort involved in this. It was just... flowing prior breath, I really have to concentrate.
I feel a great sense of peace when I do that. And actually, when you signaled that, it was time to come back to the group, I wasn't really ready. it's I liked where I was. Yeah.
You're still there.
His yeah. inner bliss. Yes.
Sri Aurobindo, who was one of the great spiritual teachers of the 20th century in India, he really developed and elaborated that path of integral yoga, and he was educated at Oxford and then went back to India and put his efforts towards the revolution, and he was in prison, and he was imprisoned at one of the worst prisons, that during that time. And it said that during his imprisonment was sort of when he developed this kind of culture of integral yoga, which is very different than other forms of yoga, because his was about bringing the yogic practice into life. It wasn't about getting up and out. He said that a lot of the practices raised the kundalini, and it would be like going to the roof of the house and kicking the ladder out. There was no way to get down. And as a result, people were very ungrounded, and it wasn't practical. But he felt that integral yoga integrated the yoga into everyday life and allowed one to be masterful and accomplish many things. And he certainly did. But the point is of course... he was in this terrible place, isolated in a prison. And this is what he used it for, his not only his benefit, but ultimately the benefit of so many beings. So again, the emphasis is on, one's suffering can be used to transform oneself and be of benefit. Was I saying that though? It relates to
were you going to talk about specifically his practices? What?
No, it was about maybe coming back and being present, you know, using the practice in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the wonderful thing also about these teachings is that of Anaya Khan's was, you know, it's not a monastic path, it's everyday life. He's always talking about everyday life.
I also had the feeling of calm and the sense of radiant light. But there was another thing that happened, and I'm sure it's not any big deal. My nose became very cold. It was very, I've never had that. I don't, it's probably not a big deal, but it was just very, very cold, like almost like an ice cube. I just thought I would ask if...
Were you emphasizing that spot because of the light?
Breathing in the light through there, but I've never had such a cold sensation like that.
I don't know what to say. I sometimes get hot, but I don't get cold.
I've always tended more towards hot, too, so that's why I thought I could ask.
Is there any practice we've done over the past few months that you'd like to do now? Somebody would like clarification or emphasis on?
Any of the element breaths? I'm not totally clear on them.
Okay.
The difference. But you can say, what is this breath? And everyone else knows what they are and I don't. Without looking it up in a book.
Yeah, and it's online too. Those instructions are online. Well, we could do those because he, again, you know, he says things in subtle ways, Moshe does, because he talks about, you know, the breath moving in different directions and the breath being able to resonate with different elements and like the plant, you know, he was giving that analogy that we have to use the breath to, you know, move every direction in the body and stimulate, you know, the, if you've ever had a chance to look at any of the Eastern medicine medical charts, you know, those very subtle systems of the body are stimulated with the breath. Shall we do those breaths then?